This is a GRDC podcast.
Hitting a six is every cricketer's objective, and hitting a six should be top of mind for grain growers too, but this six is all about weed control. G'day, I'm Chris Brown. So this is the big six. First, rotate crops and pastures. Also mix and rotate chemicals. Introduce crop competition. Double knock those weeds, stop the weeds from setting seed, and practice some form of harvest weed control. The Big Six was a feature of a recent WeedSmart conference at Narrabri in northern New South Wales. Two of the speakers focused on crop competition with some compelling evidence of how effective that can be in controlling weeds. So I gathered up Paul McIntosh, an agronomist with the Australian Herbicide Resistance Initiative, and farmer Chris Roach, who that morning had told us his harrowing story, and we climbed on the back of a ute in the car park to record this interview. So, Paul, my take-home message from your talk today was more crop gives you fewer weeds. Tell me about that.
That's true as an overall summation, Chris. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lot of things to go into that more crop business. And that's where I was talking today about crop competition coming from reducing your row spacing, which has been a thing that has been very popular for the last 5 or 7 years, been getting a lot of research data on it. So that's one method of more crop left weeds. And, of course, the other one is increasing the number of plants in a square metre. So that's all very well, increasing plants in a square metre, of course. But in summertime, with our sorghum and maize and sunflower crops and cotton crops, we don't want too many plants a square metre. We need a set number of plants in a square metre, and you've got to sort it out so that you can have as maximum amount of weed control as you can from those crops.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, Chris, you farm down Gullagamone, is that right?
That direction, yeah. So southeast of Gullagamone, back towards Warrumbungles. Yeah.
Okay, so you had some interesting experiences in lessons learned. You thought you had got the golden goose back there a few years ago, but he laid an egg.
Yeah, we had a simple rotation, a pulse zero rotation. We found a pulse that was making us a lot of money. Back in those days, it was Albus lupins. There was a period there where they were worth a lot of coin. Our soil was very suitable to them, so we did very well, and we weren't using any grass pre-emergence. We were just going in with post-emergence, and they kept telling us we were going to run into a wall, and we kept saying we don't care. We're just making a heap of money, so we'll enjoy that for the time being. And then we ran in the wall. We did care, and we realised we had to do something about it pretty quick.
What was the wall made of?
Wall was actually made of, it was grass. It was oats and rye. Yeah.
All of a sudden, like that?
So what happened? We'd had a few years. We'd had what we call escapes. You know, you sort of think, oh, they're acceptable, but they're not quite, and the crop would sort of semi-grow through them. And then we had a wet spring from memory. And we must have had a big escape that year, quite a few. And then it was the following. It was the following that it was nasty. Yeah, it was nasty. There's a few blokes around me that sort of had a similar issue. But, it's one of those things. I had a sleepless night trying to work out how the heck I was going to sort it. And then within a couple of years, having a plan together and everything was sorted. And you still got to be able to, in our country, you've still got to be able to sow early. If you can't sow early, you don't make money. If you don't make money, you're not still a farmer.
So one of the solutions was to reduce your row spacings. How did that come about? How did you make that decision?
I'll focus on one paddock, but we had quite a few like it. We flicked it into Roundup Ready canola the first year, sowed it dry and got two hits of glyphosate. And I forgot what a good job glyphosate did on oats. Then was a late spring that year as well, so we had some late germinators as well. Late crop got windrow, they got dropped in the windrow, and that windrow got burnt. Then, yeah, the next year we were still on the wider rows with tram lines, and I remember having to walk those tram lines because we'd sprayed it with Group B, had done a pretty good job, but hadn't done such a good job on the tram lines. So I walked that paddock, which I thought was bloody madness, swearing every second step that I was going to get rid of the tram lines, which I did. I bought a disc planter then, narrowed everything up, and it's made a big difference. And kept that also, the disc planter has kept the seed on top of the ground, which is really important for oats and rye. Once you bury them, it's a long time before you get your numbers down.
So you were using tines before that?
Yes. We had a parallelogram tine planter.
Paul, just coming back to you in terms of row spacings, you put some figures up this morning on the screen about, you know, how effective reducing row spacings can be in reducing the numbers of weeds. Can you give us a bit of an idea of just how successful that can be?
Yeah, Chris, it's quite remarkable, actually, with those row spacings when we sort of reduce them down from 100 to 75 to 50 down to 25 centimetres. Just about each time you go down in those row spacings, you can really improve your weed control by about 20%. So it's not a set in cement thing, it depends on the weed spectrum, but gee whiz, is that reducing that row spacing absolutely definitely works on reducing A, the biomass of the weeds that are produced, and then seed numbers that are come out of those particular weed plants in those narrow rows is mightily reduced as well. So it's nothing uncommon to go from a metre row down to a 25 centimetre row, as we saw with some of those figures there today, with Feathertop and South Thistle, to come down, you know, 70% in numbers of seeds produced by those plants, those parent plants. So that's truly remarkable. And while they produce a lot of seed, those things, at least you got 70% out the road.
Now, for the benefit of me and also people further south who may not be aware of the current state of play up here in the northern part of the northern region, what is a typical row spacing now for, say, a cereal crop?
Oh, it's a mixed bag. Yeah, we started at 6 and 7 inches back in the 60s, 70s and even into the 80s, and then we went out to 10s and 13s and 15s and 16s, and then we went out to 18s and 20s. So it's been very common over the last few years for an 18 and a 20 inch row, but we're slowly bringing them back in again. So it just moves in and out. I suppose with the stubble that we had that we were creating from our zero till, we needed those wider spacings because we couldn't get planters through the stubble that we were creating. So it's a bit of a compromise, I suppose, with the row spacing, but definitely they're coming back in. Definitely they're having a positive effect on reducing the number of weeds and the number of weed seeds being produced.
Is weed control driving that, or is it something else agronomically?
Oh, look, Kerry McKenzie from DAF, a friend of mine, he's done a lot of trial work. He's been giving me a fair bit of knowledge lately. Any chance he gets about the increasing of yield they're getting, particularly for something like mung beans and chickpeas, and the water use efficiency of those two crops, bringing them into narrow rows. So, yeah, weed control is one thing, but as Kerry keeps telling me, there's a lot of extra yield there in those two crops, Mac. He said, so get with it. So I'm with it. I've taken the bait and I'm running with it.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, plant density, you made some changes there too, didn't you?
Yeah, sowing rate's obviously gone up. District sowing rate average would probably be 45 kilograms to the hectare, roughly, of wheat. Just to talk in cocky's terms, and we sit sort of sitting closer to 70 nowadays.
Just to take you back there, from 45 as a district normal, now you go closer to 70.
Yeah. So that's pretty standard. Just trying to get more plants per square metre up, which is basically a quick canopy, and all the trial work's always saying that you're only going to grow more grain, you're not going to grow less, so don't worry about it. It's a cheap way of doing it. But having said all that, like, there's always advantages and disadvantages of doing things. Like if you narrow everything up and you get a wet year, you've got all of a sudden, you've got funguses, you've got moulds, you've got, especially in pulses. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it can really bite you in the bum. But weeds for us are a massive issue, and one in 10 or 12 or something, if you get a chickpea problem where you've got some nasty moulds happening, well, you're pretty sure everyone's going to have that problem.
How significant has the extra crop competition been in terms of controlling your weeds?
I think it makes a big difference, especially in a better season, in a late spring, or in a good soft spring is probably a better way of putting it. In a soft spring where you get a lot of late germinators, it really gives them a kick in the guts. If you look at the view from the top and it's a thick canopy, the more important view is to sort of pretend you're looking at it from underneath, give yourself a weeds view, and if the weed's not getting sunlight, it's going to really struggle. So why not be in that situation?
We've talked about row spacings, Paul. What about plant populations? Chris has just talked about what he's done, going from, 45 district average up to around 70. Is that the sort of move that has to happen as well?
Yes, but it depends on the crop, Chris. And as I said in the presentation, we don't particularly want a large number of grain sorghum plants or maize plants or sunflower plants, like 20 and 30 per square metre, because you just have no yield. All you'll end up with a paddock of white leaf sort of stuff, because it's too many plants for that square metre of country. So we're particularly concerned with our plant population in those summer crops, like sorghum, like maize, like sunflowers, and even cotton. And, of course, those plants need to be evenly spread in that square metre, so it's not a case of not having them all in one corner. As far as wheat and barley goes, yes, you know, we've got away from that, you know, 30 and 40 and 50 plants per square metre, planting them in April, the wheat or the barley. We've got away from that, and we're definitely going up. So well over 50, getting close to 100, and maybe we need to go more than 100 to get over those bad weed situations. And maybe it's a paddock-by-paddock call too. Maybe some paddocks can, you've got weed-free status, so you don't have to go to the extremes of some of the plant populations in the narrow rows to control your weeds.
Just before we go, Chris, you mentioned a couple of times now that you got rid of your tram lines.
Down our way, most people have sort of, they're still sowing on them, but they're just sowing them, is probably the better way of putting it. So they're just a space for weeds to grow. If you're leaving that area bare, it is it's a space for weeds to grow, and it's an issue, big issue, because they set seed and then they're all through the paddock. They run through the header and off they're gone.
Okay. All right, well, we'll leave it there for this topic. Paul McIntosh, Chris Roche, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much to the guy who owns this ute that we're sitting on the back of.
Thanks, Chris. Good on you.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Chris is a farmer from Gelaghambone in central west New South Wales, and Paul is the Northern Extension agronomist with the Australian Herbicide Resistance Initiative and WeedSmart. And my name is Chris Brown.